The World This Week. News and analysis. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. This past week, Congress returned from its August recess and promptly ran into a new conflict with the administration over the job it's doing.
We have had this year, as far as the Congress is concerned, a disappointing performance so far. I'm not placing individual blame on that. I'm simply saying we have 3 months left. And I know that the Congress is usually a last quarter team.
President Nixon, in that news conference Wednesday, also announced that he is sending a new State of the Union message to Congress, covering the particular pieces of legislation he feels must be approved at this session. And he gave a preview of that message in his taped radio broadcast this afternoon.
Tomorrow, I shall send to the Congress an extensive special message highlighting more than 50 major legislative proposals which this administration has urged and which still await final congressional action. Each of these messages is a measure in which you have a stake because the needs it addresses are your needs.
If there was some midweek bristling around Congress over the president's news conference remarks, there was a tone of conciliation at week's end. Democratic leader Mike Mansfield, after a meeting with the president Friday, said the president had told him he thinks that overall Congress has done very well this year. And Mansfield promised that Congress, in the remaining weeks of this session, will give speedier consideration to administration measures. A second underlying theme around Washington and other places this week is the approaching energy crisis. At a White House conference yesterday, several steps were announced, including plans to make the country less dependent on foreign sources of oil.
The United States, as a great industrial nation, the most advanced industrial nation in the world, must be in a position and must develop the capacity so that no other nation in the world that might, for some reason or another, take an unfriendly attitude toward the United States has us, frankly, in a position where they can cut off our oil. Or basically, more important, cut off our energy.
The president's special energy advisor, John Love, indicated that it would take 3 to 5 years to reach a state where the U.S. is less dependent on foreign oil supplies. And even that may not be entirely achievable. A fact that has political meaning in the Middle East, as Michael O'Sullivan reports from Amman.
A dramatic change has come over the Arab governments recently. The realization of the implications of the energy crisis and the energy sources they control has given them renewed hope that Israel can be persuaded by diplomatic means to disgorge its 1967 conquests. This hope lies behind the threatening noises made by Libya and the more subtle hints of Saudi Arabia's King Faisal. It is estimated that by 1980, the United States will depend on Saudi Arabia alone for 25% of its oil imports. This clearly gives the Arabs immense bargaining power. This, in the view of Arab governmental circles, is the reason for Mr. Nixon's recent declaration that both sides in the Arab-Israeli dispute are at fault for the failure to reach a peace agreement. Undoubtedly, the Arab governments are willing, in desperation, to grasp at every straw in the wind, at even the slightest hope of regaining politically what they lack the strength or the will to regain by military means. The situation for them is frightening. If they cannot solve the problem with Israel, the Arab world is likely to be engulfed by a wave of revolution. This is why moderate leaders like King Faisal are tightening the screws on the United States.
In the background of this whole dispute is the perennial Arab versus Arab argument, only dramatized this week by the kidnapping of 5 Saudi Arabian diplomats by 5 Arab guerrillas. Bob Allison had this report from the non-aligned conference in Algiers.
The Saudian foreign minister here said that if the commandos who released their hostages in Kuwait are Arabs, they can only be Arab traitors. His views are shared by all delegates here, including the Palestinian resistance leaders who are present. Because of the commando venture, the world took little note of the non-alignment conference attended here by the leaders of more than 80 nations.
The Senate Foreign Relations Committee opened hearings this week on Henry Kissinger's nomination as Secretary of State and heard a promise of closer consultation on foreign policy.
In my new capacity, I shall be prepared to testify formally on all my activities in either capacity. In other words, I shall testify with respect to all matters traditionally covered by secretaries of state, and on my duties as assistant to the president concerning interdepartmental issues.
The hearings recessed for the weekend on a note of potential dispute. The committee's demand to see Justice Department reports of certain wiretaps made on some of Kissinger's aides. But by this afternoon, Minority Leader Hugh Scott dispelled any thought of a new confrontation.
I think you will find that Dr. Kissinger, in the course of making certain that his work was protected and classified material protected, did no more than to furnish the names of all persons who would have access to the material. I'm satisfied, after certain meetings of my own this weekend, that the Attorney General and the former Director of the FBI, Mr. Ruckelshaus, can adequately satisfy the committee's curiosity without having to reveal the raw files, which of course would be damaging to people and unfair to them.
The Watergate bugaboo remained on the back burners during the week, but with the Senate committee warming up for more public hearings this coming week. President Nixon filed an appeal against Judge Sirica's ruling on the tapes. Vice President Agnew complained that too many around Washington have become preoccupied with Watergate. And on the West Coast, former White House aides John Ehrlichman, Dick Young, and Eagle Krogh, plus convicted Watergate burglar Gordon Liddy, were indicted on charges in connection with the burglary of the office of Daniel Ellsberg, psychiatrist. Then there's the economy. A new rise in the wholesale price index, grumbles on the retail gasoline front, and an end of the ceiling on beef prices as of tonight. Christopher Glenn sums it up.
The amazing jump in the wholesale price index has administration officials deeply worried, not about whether the Phase 4 program itself is sound, but rather what the psychological effects on it might be. If the U.S. were a nation of statisticians and economists, all might share the view that the program is working, but the feeling seems to be that public skepticism, given the ever more discouraging figures, might knock the battle against inflation out of whack. And though the wholesale price rise will be felt and hurt when the new bulge reaches retail levels, the planners are confident that the peak of the food price spiral has passed. They point to dramatic declines in recent weeks in the price levels for wheat, for corn, for pork, and chickens. And they say that the prices are off because the consumer has brought the market to heel by refusing to pay the price. Now, the beef freeze is coming off, and though there's no doubt that there will be an initial frantic surge in beef price levels, perhaps as much as 25%, the officials are confident that the consumer will lock up her pocketbook again, and America's favorite meat will be back to a more reasonable and affordable level not too many weeks thereafter.
If many of us were confused and troubled by events of the week, one man on the national scene reached a new level of serenity and purpose. Iowa's Senator Harold Hughes announced that he will be moving out of the political arena to an active role as a lay religious leader.
I've long believed the government will change for the better only when people change for the better in their hearts. Rightly or wrongly, I believe that I can move people through a spiritual approach more effectively than I've been able to achieve through a political approach.
Senator Hughes, upon his political retirement, will be working with two religious foundations. The World This Week has been produced by Harry Pollution. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News.